Well, grace, mercy, and God's peace be to each and every one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to preach today, as I did with the kids, on that gospel message that we heard earlier. But you know, all three of our texts for this morning share something in common. We hear about how the reign and the rule of God Almighty extends to all people, no matter who they are. Although it certainly comes through the Jews or the Israelites of old, it extends now to all nations and all peoples, all tribes and all languages. There was a man named David Kinneman who wrote a book called Unchristian, What a New Generation Really Thinks About Christianity and Why It Matters. Well, in that book, there are about six themes that he uses to describe why those outside the church want to have no part of being inside. Through it all, there is one main theme that extends through all the other six, and that is this: that those outside the church see those inside the church as being hypocrites. It's hard to hear, but they believe Christians are judgmental, having a better-than-thou attitude about themselves. We need to keep this in mind and remember that we, except for the blood of Jesus Christ that covers our sin, are no different than they are, and that God's kingdom is to extend to them no matter who they are, no matter how they have sinned in their lives. You know, in any really good story, the producer and the director, the actors, they work very hard to get us to place ourselves in the shoes of the leading man or woman in the story. In that blockbuster movie, I'm sure most of you have probably seen it by now, Top Gun, or Maverick, Tom Cruise plays the pilot instructor who had to save the world using his best-in-the-world flying ability in his F-18 fighter jet as he flew through the skies. Throughout that movie, whenever Tom Cruise was shooting at the enemy or pulling his six G's in the plane, the moviegoers, while riveted to the screen, they would twist and they would turn in the theater as they watched him, and they were in the cockpit right there with him. Well, you know what? In our gospel reading for today, we find a really good story as well. Although this is a true story, but I believe we find ourselves all too often not identifying with that woman who kneels at Jesus' feet. Rather, as one of the other characters at the table with Jesus, we want to watch and see what happens rather than identify with her. Remember that event that happened that day that I read about earlier? A foreigner, a Canaanite, longtime enemies of the people of God, and a woman back in that day who would never go up to a man, let alone a rabbi, and begin to ask him for something, talk to him. But this Canaanite woman heard that Jesus was passing by through the area, and somehow then she came to see Jesus that she might find help from him. Now, she was distraught. She is suffering terribly because her daughter is possessed by a demon and there's nothing that she can do about it. We hear the cry of a mother who will do anything to save her daughter. She comes to Jesus and she pours out her heart to him. And what does Jesus do at first? He does not give her the time of day. He doesn't give her the time of day. He doesn't even answer her. And the disciples just really try to get rid of her, send her away. She's becoming a problem. So she continues to make the scene. Jesus then finally speaks to her, but says he's only come first to the children of Israel, not some foreigner like her. And there's silence. But the woman doesn't give up. She comes over by Jesus, she kneels, and she begs for help. She comes over to Jesus, she begs with all her heart. She says, "No, you're right, it isn't right to give to foreigners, to people like her, what you give to the children of Israel." And she insists. When Jesus says that he won't help her, she insists. And she says that even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the master's table. But then, finally, we see Jesus do what we expected him to do, and he heals that woman's daughter from afar at that very moment. It was a great, true story, one that has us scratching our head and wondering if Jesus will ever get around to doing what we know he wants to do in his heart, to help that poor woman's daughter. But you know, something interesting happens. Something interesting happens in this story while we're reading or hearing it that maybe should make you and I a little bit uncomfortable in our seats. Because instead of identifying with the leading lady in the story, round about the time in the story that we hear Jesus call her a foreigner and unworthy of receiving help, we've kind of checked out from identifying with her. Somehow we've placed ourselves not in her shoes, in the lead character of the story's shoes, but instead we see ourselves maybe on the side watching with the disciples, wondering, whatever will Jesus do for this woman? How did that happen? Why don't we see ourselves as that leading lady in the story? Was it some kind of prejudice against placing ourselves in the place of a Canaanite? Probably not. I don't know any Canaanites. I don't know about you. Or might it be because we have a hard time seeing ourselves really as unworthy of God's blessing? Something makes us shy away from placing ourselves in her shoes. But that is exactly how we need to see ourselves. This foreigner, this woman of great faith, as Jesus would call her, is great because she knows that she has no right to sit at the table of the Lord. She knows that she's an outsider. She knows she is a poor, miserable sinner, a foreigner, who now falls down before the Lord as a beggar, to beg from the Lord that he deign to give her the scraps of his love and grace. And it is this beggarliness, this humble woman who comes to Jesus and doesn't try to hand Jesus anything for him to heal her daughter. She doesn't have anything to do that. There's nothing that she could give to turn his favor toward her. She doesn't make some kind of eloquent speech. She, knowing she's an outsider and unworthy, just asks that the Lord would grace her with the scraps from his divine table. And so he does. He heals her daughter at that very moment. And then he commends her for this great faith. You see, there is a temptation for us to hear this story and say, yep, the kingdom of God, it's for those guys. It's for everybody. It's for all those people of the world out there. Look at them. God loves even them. And there's truth in that. But the even greater truth is that we are them. You and I are the beggars kneel before the holy God, knowing that we need only what the Lord can give. We desperately need the forgiveness of sins that God offers freely by his grace at his table. There is no good work that you and I could give, something that we might do that might rate God to turn and speak a word of forgiveness to us. No, poor, miserable sinners. in thought, word, and deed. Sinful for the things we have done, and sinful by the things left undone. You know, and God knows. Your only move is to jump in the shoes of the Canaanite woman, as she did, to fall down and kneel at the master's table and receive from him that which you need, the scraps of love that he would deign to drop to you to give you what you need for your life. And it will be in this kneeling posture of humility that God will do what he always does. He will, as he always does, forgive you and love you and send you on your way, no longer an outside or an alien, but now a child of God, a forgiven child of God. And it is only when we really step into those shoes that we can understand this story aright. Not when we're watching from afar, but only when we see ourselves as her, as undeserving of the grace that Jesus in his love grants to anyone who would kneel before him and ask. Then, when we understand that, when we have this posture, then we can go ahead and say, yes, his love is for all people. And all of those nations and peoples and tribes and languages out there, yes, because we can now identify with them. They are us, no different. God shows no partiality. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all now one in Christ Jesus, the scripture says. There is no longer any American or Mexican or African or European. There's no legal or migrant, homeowner or homeless. We are all one together, kneeling at the feet of Jesus at his table, asking for his unmerited grace. Isaiah said it so well. The foreigners who joined themselves to the Lord, to minister him, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices will be now accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others besides those already gathered. So what do these facts we have heard from God's word today mean for us in our life today? Is it just head knowledge? By no means. Knowing that we, like the Canaanite woman, are truly undeserving of that amazing grace which Christ has given to us through his death and resurrection. And because through faith, the faith that he's poured out to you and to me, to believe in him, we've been made citizens of the heavenly kingdom. And we ought daily rejoice for all the gifts that he pours out upon us. But also, we're called to reach out to all those others not here who need Jesus too. Foreigners. The foreigners in your family, your extended family. Foreigners who live next to you on your street. Foreigners who live in the tent cities. Foreigners who are legal. Foreigners who've been citizens for a long time. Foreigners who are hungry and foreigners who have full stomachs. Foreigners all like us. It is to them we reach out and invite to the house of God. Invite them here. It is to them that we use our resources, our talents, the gifts God given us, that hope of the defense that we have within us. We share it with others in their time of need. We, you, are called to be an active part of God, fulfilling his promise to bring himself a people of faith from all nations. Like the Canaanite woman of great faith, you and I have received unbounding unmerited grace and favor, healing from God. Now we go not as hypocrites that are different from those outside the church, but as forgiven sinners, calling all who have ears to hear to fall at the feet of Jesus with us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your heart and mind in faith in Christ Jesus, receiving His grace, reaching out with the good news of our Savior to people from every tribe and language, to life everlasting. Amen.